the last sugya that we learned, if you take a look at Tosus Divya Maskel Balmona, the Gemara presents the what's called Birchas Erisin. Do you remember that? And the Gemara has the Nusach HaBrocha, but the Machlokas here is whether or not there's a Chasima. We have two categories of brachas. We have what's called a bracha ktsara that has no chasima. It doesn't end with Baruch Atah Hashem at the end. It's just one straight bracha. Then we have a bracha rucha, and that requires how you do this. That requires a chasima, a Baruch Atah Hashem at the end. So the question is how to classify Birchas Erisin. So if you take a look, the Gemara quotes the Nusach HaBracha here. It's about 8 lines up from the bottom. Baruch Atah Hashem, Alkeinu Melech Olam Hashem, Kitchonu, Tzol Sitzvonu, Al Arayas, Asalonu Sarusa, Sitilonu Sarasuas, Samayaz Vlonu, Ayidei Chupa V'Kiddush. Right? So that's the end. And that's the Nusach of Rav Ada. Then the Gemara has Rav Acha, and he has a Siyum, he adds a Chasim, Baruch Atah Hashem, Kaddish Yisrael. Here there are two Girsos. The Rambam's girsa is Baruch Atah Hashem HaKadosh Yisrael. That's it. Our girsa is Al Yidei Chupa VeKiddushin. So Gemara says, what's the machlokas here? Whether there's a chasim or not a chasim? Mandalo chasim. The first day of Ravada, he omits a chasim. Midi dahavi abirchas haperos v'abirchas haMitzvos. These are the two categories of brachos, which are classically a bracha ktsara. And they don't have a chasima. It's one fell swoop, without any additional Baruch Atah Hashem at the end. Uman dechasim mididahavi akidusha. It's like the case of Kiddush. And if you remember, when we recite Kiddush, we always end with Baruch Atah Hashem mekadosh hashabbos. So the real sugya of bracha arucha and bracha ktsar is not here. It's in Psachim Kufei. And Rashi Shita is that bracha rucha, bracha ktsara has nothing to do with how many words are in the bracha. It's not a matter of, you know, there's no minimum shear of what constitutes a bracha rucha, if it's longer, if it's shorter. Rashi says if it's all mi'inyan echad, that's called the bracha ktsara. But if it's shnei inyanim, it means how many themes are there to the bracha. If the bracha reflects multiple themes, then it's called the bracha rucha. It doesn't matter how many words are in the bracha. Like, I'll give you the example of Birchas HaTorah. Baruch Atah Hashem Asher Bocha Arbonim Mikol Amnos Amonos Torah. So there are two themes there. There's the Bechir of Klal Yisrael and the giving of the Torah. Obviously they're very intricately connected, but they're still two separate themes.
Actually one, because he chose us to have the Torah.
Correct. But there still was a choice of Klal Yisrael. Like, for example, the choice of Klal Yisrael took place at the time of Avraham Avinu, perhaps, at the time of Yetzias Mitzrayim, not necessarily at the time of the Sinas HaTorah. So those are two themes. And therefore it ends with Baruch Atah Hashem, no Sena Torah. So you have a Bracha Arucha, despite the fact that there aren't that many words in the Bracha. A Bracha Ktsara is one single theme. So let's see if we apply the yardstick of Rashi, what would you say here? Is there one theme or many themes? What would have been your gut reaction? I mean, you start with what? Arayos, Arusos, Nesuos. You might say there are many, many different themes. So it could be, I'm just going to throw out two possibilities here. The whole sugya seems to assume, that's the premise of the sugya, that Birchas Erisin is a bracha ktsara. And in fact, the only mandiomar who adds a chasima to it is only because midahavi akidush. He wants to end like in the case of kiddush. And I think you could explain it in one of two ways. Perhaps one way of explaining it is to say that when we talk about themes, what you have to talk about is what we call bakasha versus hodah. In other words, a bracha rucha has both a hodah, an expression of shevach HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and some element of bakasha, of petition to Hashem. That's a multi-thematic bracha that requires a chasima, becomes bracha rucha. Here in our case, what we're doing is we're really thanking Hashem. There's no bakasha. Again, it's pretty odd that we're thanking Hashem for arayas. I mean, Chazal say that bachelu mishpachosam, they weren't happy about arayas. But nevertheless, we were sanctified by the Isra Arayis. That makes us more elevated than the Goyim. They don't have as many Arayis. We have like tons of Arayis. They have six, that's it. And even the six are really not six because Mishkan Zohar is in there. I don't know if you call that a classical era. Not only that, we have Asalonis Haruso. So the Rambam tells us at the very beginning of Ishus that this is reflective of the special, unique nature of Kedushin in Yisrael. Right? We call marriage Kedushin because we have the Isar Rusa, and then we have a Heter. All this is to indicate that we don't just meet a woman and get together. You know, it's not just man and woman together. It's a whole process of kinyan, that you kono a woman, first with Erisin, then with Suin. So we could say that this bracha is called a bracha k'tzara, according to the first line of the Omar, because there's one theme. What do we mean there's one theme? That there's no admixture of bakasha here. We don't ask Hashem for anything to remember us. Whereas if in the middle of a bracha we ask Hashem to remember us, like for example in what we call bracha main sholosh, we have a bracha achrona for the Shiva Semi. So in the middle of the bracha that we ask Hashem to build Yerushalayim. So there's an element of bakasha in the middle. And therefore it becomes a bracha arucha, requires a chasima. Here, there's no element of bakasha. That's one way of saying it. The other way of saying it is to say that enochinami, by normal standards, this should be a bracha arucha, because there's so many different elements here, asol and asarayas. But what unites everything together here is one theme. No, it's not that there's the fact that there's no admixture of hodoy of bakasha, that wouldn't justify classifying the bracha as a bracha ktsara. You have to have one unified theme, and the one unified theme here is the Isra and the Heter as one entity. The Olaman Diomar says no. I don't know. Even if there's no bakasha, and even if you can unite the themes into one, but since there are different elements. And they're all coming to thank Hashem for Kiddusha, right? Baruch atah Hashem HaKadosh Yisrael. Therefore, we have to plug in the paradigm case of a bracha on Kiddusha, and that's Kiddush. And that requires a chasim. So really, the second man, the Omer, agrees that it's a bracha k'tzara, but since there's a certain direct or definite similarity between this bracha and Kiddush, insofar as we thank Hashem for Kiddushas Yisrael, so therefore, they used a chasime, a baruch atah Hashem, makadosh Yisrael. All right.
In Kiddush, it's not, we don't say makadosh Yisrael. We say it on Yom Tov, on Shabbos, we don't say makadosh Yisrael, makadosh Shabbos. On Yom Tov, makadosh Yisrael as manim. And there's also like a different type of expression here. Here's makadosh Yisrael al yedei, on Yom Tov, we're makadosh Yom Tov.
Makadosh Yisrael.
So how are you still Makadosh and beyond them? Here's our idea. Right. Where did they get the Kedusha from?
Right. So Hashem again gave us the Kedusha, but you're asking how does it evolve? All right, Rabbi. So that's the sugya here, and now we're really at the tippy end of Dav Zayin Amid Beis. And truth be told, you know, the last piece on Daf Zayin Amid Beis, starting with two lines below the end of the Daf, they sound, you know, a little bit, technical and insignificant, but this, in these two lines, there's like worlds, unbelievable. If the Gemara says, Torah Rabbanu Mevarachim Birchas Kasanim Ba'asara, okay, so this concept of the Asara we've seen. In fact, we had two interpretations of the requirement of Asara. Is it Boaz, and it's really the Chosin who has to guarantee himself a tzibah to be mafarsim in front of them that he married this woman based on HaKadosh Baruch Hu's supervision? Or is it Mavakelos Baruch Hashem, we need a kahal to thank Hashem publicly? But look at the next one. Amar Rav Yehuda, Mahu Shebo Padam Chadoshos. I skipped two words, sorry. Torah Rabbanu Mevarachim Birchas Kasanim Ba'asara Kol Shiva. Right? All 7 days. And last time, if you remember, we had a whole discussion, do you need a Suda, you don't need a Suda, right? We had the Masechta Sofrim that they used to go from the shul, they hopped over to the house of the Chosan, they made the brachas. Was it linked to Birkas HaMazon, or was it independent of Birkas HaMazon? Should it be one coast, like I think the Sfaradim should be doing, right? Or there are two coasts, like the Ashkenazim do. But the main point that I want to share with you is the most, this is probably the most famous line in all of Sheva Brachas, and that's Omer Rav Yehuda, V'husha bo panim chadoshes. So now, without looking in Rashi, if I can play this with you, what would you say is the definition of panim chadoshes? First, let me ask you the following question. When Rav Yehuda requires panim chadoshes, whatever panim chadoshes is, there are like three or four different shitas, would you say that it requires them on every day? Would you say it requires it at every meal? And every time you want to recite the Sheva Brachas? He doesn't seem to qualify. What would be your first impression?
Every day.
Every day, every meal. What about every meal? Let's say I have Sheva Brachas twice in a day. There's one meal in the morning, one meal in the afternoon. L'chara, we should require Sheva Brachas, part of Kadosh, at every meal. That's what I would say. Meaning, he's not going into days, or he's not going into meals. He's just saying, whenever you want to say Sheva Brachas, you have to have Panim Chadoshes.
It's for Pesim. If it's for Pesim, everyone's been there before, there's no Pesim. You need Panim Chadoshes for Pesim, presumably.
Right. And if you need it for Shevach, then again, if you need it for Shevach for some reason, which I don't know why, and we'll have to see what Panim Chadoshes is, then again, every time you want to recite the Shevach, you need Panim Chadoshes. Now we look into Rashi, and Rashi surprises us. Ponim chadoshos bechol yom. You have it; it's about 8 lines up from the bottom. Bechol yom shalom hayusham esmol. So the Meiri says, let's say you were there on Sunday. You could be ponim chadoshos on Tuesday. Because Panim Chadoshes from yesterday, that disqualifies, your appearance yesterday disqualifies you for a day.
That would make Shavuot Bracha much easier to...
Yeah, that would certainly,
what
would
be the logic?
It's almost like we give you a day off, you know. But really what it means is that according to Rashi, every day of Shavuot Bracha is a separate unit. And within that unit we need Panim Chadoshes. If you were there yesterday, then you're no longer part of Chadoshes today. But once I had a hefsek of a yom, so then this new unit of, we'll call it Tuesday, Yom Shlishi, right, didn't have you as part of Chadoshes yesterday. Now the Ritva doesn't like this, and he says the Girsa has to be mistaken, and he changes the Girsa. I'll read to you the Girsa, the Ritva, if I find it here, of course. And the Ritva says, Shalom Hayusham Kodem Lachem. So we have Esmol, and instead of Esmol, he has Kodem Lachem. There's no real similarity in letters, but that's what he says. Now, how many people do you need for Panim Chadoshes?
Panim.
Panim, it's in plural. So the Rambam says you need a minimum of two.
How do you say Panim in singular?
Panim is a singular as well.
Pen Chadosh, I guess.
I don't know. Really?
I think. I don't know. But anyway, the Rambam says Panim Chadoshot. That's two. There are other poskim who say you need ten new faces. You know, it sounds like what Daniel was saying, that Boaz needed a pirsum. You can't be a farsim to these 10 guys. They've all been there already. They heard my speech. So I'm not publicizing anything new to them.
You can borrow ideas from like davening with a minion. You need at least, you know, six new people, and you can, you know, use the...
Well, wait a minute. When you say six new people, you got me confused there. Well, like where in davening do you need six new people?
No, I'm saying, like, if you're looking for...
If you want to build up the membership in a new congregation, you need six new people.
No, let's say you're
looking for the membership.
Let's say right now we're looking for a minion, and let's say, like, most people already daven Marav. So you need, like, at least a certain...
Oh, I see what you're saying. Excellent. Oh, you're saying six people who haven't davened already, that particular daven.
Yeah.
Or, for example, you're going from Birchas Kohanim. If this tzibur has already heard your bracha, they don't need another bracha from you. Maybe we should get six new people who haven't heard your bracha. Good. So the one who disagrees with all this is Rashi. Although, actually, Rashi is not totally clear, but the Meiri understands in Rashi, and that's also the Shita Sa'aruch, that all you need is one person for Parim Chadashis. And that's really what we rely on. One new person.
So Max, maybe.
And not only that, that person...
like a bar mitzvah bag.
That's also an issue. You know, what about? Let me mention to you four issues in Parim Chadashis. Issue number one: what happens if they were there but they never participate in the suda? Can they still be Parim Chadashis? Mm-hmm. Number two: what happens if they were there at night? Can they still be Parim Chadashis in the day? What happens with an Isha or a Katan? Can she be or he be Parim Chadashis? And is Shabbos and Yontif considered Parim Chadashis? So I can't tell you in each case what the Psak is. I know that we paskin as far as Shabbos and Yontif that you don't need Parim Chadashis. And this gigantic machlokas about Suda Shlishit, you know, where the Shalshudis requires Parim Chadashis. Because some say that really there's a chiv to have a Suda two times in Shabbos. And the third Suda is not really a full-fledged Suda, like some say you can be Yotzi with Mizonos, it's not a full. So in any event, why should Shabbos be Panim Chadashis? You know, that's very strange. So let's take a look at what Panim Chadashis is. Look at Tosus. Tosus is Omer Ri, De Panim Chadashos, Eino Kore Ela B'Bnei Adam, Shemarbim B'Shvilam HaSimcha. Yoser. So we need now something called Ribui Simcha. Now, how do you quantify Ribui Simcha? Like, it's such an amorphic mass, you know, it's almost like a gas form. You know, you can't put your fingers into it. But some of the poskim want to say that Ribui Simcha means that you would add something for them, for the Suda. It's their chashuv enough that you would want to embellish the Suda. It doesn't mean you have to embellish the Suda. Let's say the balabasta, the hostess, didn't add anything to the Suda, even though the great Rosh Hashiva came. But it's worthy. You know, we're just using this as a barometer, as a litmus test. If we would add something to the Suda to embellish it because of this person, that means that person is part of Kadosh. We don't have to actually do so. Some say that Ribui Simcha has nothing to do with the Suda. It's not that we would enhance the Suda, you know, make another Kugel or something like that. But all we need is someone who makes an impact and the Simcha becomes more intense, it becomes more exciting. Now, I want to ask you the following question. And this happened to me when I got married. We had, my wife and I had our last Shev Brachos here in Israel. So imagine we're flying on a plane. And I said to Rav Shechter before I got on the plane, can we recite Sheva Brachos on the plane? He goes, no. So I was very disappointed. So he says, because there's no Ribui Simcha, you know, you can't just... For example, I give you a different... This is Maisim B'chol Yom. You have nine people. You need a tenth. So you go down to the street and you pull somebody off the street and say, hey, have a piece of cake, you know, and join us for Sheva Brachos. Is Tosus is saying that's not sufficient. You need some sort of Ribui Simcha because of that person. You pull a total stranger and call him Panim Chadashis. He has no connection. He doesn't embellish. He doesn't generate a new Simcha. The new Simcha, according to Tosus, is what engenders Panim Chadashis.
So if that stranger came in and did a dance, that would...
A clown, let's say.
Yeah, a clown.
Call up a clown. See, I don't know what that's... Yeah, Aaron comes up with the toughest questions, but I don't know if that's exactly the Simcha we're talking about. That would be good for Purim, maybe, but I don't know if it would be good for Sheva Brachos. It's got to be somehow related to the Chasan Kal. I don't know, that's what I would say. I'm sure you'll find poskim who will disagree with it. Now, here at Bosai, I want to tell you something that I found here in a footnote here. He writes that according to the Rush, Mishekvar Shoma Birchas Chasanim Vavaloish Tatev Pasuda Dain. See, could you imagine someone, you invited him to the chuppah, or you invited him for the whole wedding, but he couldn't stay past the chuppah. He had another pressing occasion. this would be very common, for example, Rabbonim or doctors. You know, people are very, very busy. They have different occasions. Such a person, according to the Rosh, even though he was at your wedding, can become Sherev Brachos. Parim Chadoshes. Now, this would be an interesting quiz question. You know, if I was giving a Rabbanut exam, you know, the guys just did, I would ask them, give me a scenario in which you were at the wedding, Ploni Almoni was at the wedding, and he still could be Panim Chadoshes. I mean, l'chor, that's antithetical. If he was at the wedding, he's not Panim Chadoshes. But the answer is, according to the Rosh, he didn't participate in the Suda. And this takes us back to what we discussed last week. The Rosh, no doubt, sees Panim Chadoshes as directly connected to the Suda. If you're part of the Suda, then that's Panim Chadoshes. That's Shevet Brachos. Shevet Brachos equals Suda, Suda equals Shevet Brachos, and that's what it's all about. If you aren't at the Suda, then you're not part of, you're not Panim Yesharos. You know, so you can still be Panim Chadoshes. Then he writes that he doesn't know, this is the Aruch HaShulchan, he's quoting, he doesn't know what is Panim Chadoshes, what's the purpose of Panim Chadoshes. Is it Tosefes Simcha, or is it that there's a chiyuv al ha-mesubin levarech ha-sachosim ve-sakal she-yatzlichu bedarkom? We're going to soon see that the sixth bracha of the seven is sameach tesamach reyem ahuvim. And Rashi says that that's a tefillah, that's a prayer on behalf of the simchas chosim ve-kal. So he wants to say the Aruch HaShulchan, his second possibility, that the purpose of Panim Chadoshes is that somebody who has not yet blessed the Chosn V'Kala, he hasn't had that opportunity, then once he's there at the Suda, he now has an obligation. It's fascinating. You know, who should we ask to recite the Shevra? Should we ask the Panim Chadoshes to recite the Shevra? I would have said no. I mean, once there's Panim Chadoshes, we're all in it together. But according to this svar of the Aruch HaShulchan, if really the whole, how should I say, the whole ceremony of Shevet Brachos is for this one person who did not fulfill his obligation, all the other nine have already blessed the Chosn V'Kal, they've already prayed on his behalf, on their behalf. L'Hatzlochas HaZivu. Then maybe he should be the one to recite the Shevet Brachos. Okay, he can appoint me as a shliach, and we're all yotzei, and so forth, and so on. But again, it's fascinating that he vacillates back and forth. Let's think of the nafkamina. If it's Tosefes Simcha, then it could be that even if he heard the Brachos in the past, like the Rush's case, maybe still when he shows up, he adds the Simcha. If on the other hand he's already been at the Suda previously, then he doesn't add anything new to change the nature or upgrade the nature of the Simcha. If on the other hand I say that the halach is to be motzi someone who has not yet been mevarech, then I don't care whether he's at the Suda, he wasn't at the Suda, he already heard the Shevet Brachos and he was yotzi his chiyuv to be mevarech. So the Rambam Shita is that who is Panim Chadoshes? Someone who has not yet heard the brachas. Says the Aruch HaShulchan, he took the second definition of Panim Chadoshes. It's, we set up the Shevet Brachos in order to be motzi, the person who hasn't yet fulfilled his obligation, vis-a-vis the Chosn V'Kal to be mispal. Tosfos on the other end is talking about Ribui Simcha. You see, according to the Rambam, I don't know if you can't pull someone off the street. Okay, if he doesn't know the Chosn V'Kal from a hole in the wall, as we say, you know, the Chosn V'Kal from Dallas and he's from Atlanta, something crazy like that, then maybe you're right. You know, he's not Mar B'Simcha, there's no Ribui Simcha, and not only that, he has no chiv to be mevarech the Chosn V'Kal. I don't know if, do I have a chiv to run around for every Chosn V'Kal and bless them? I don't know. But what I mean to say is, you don't need that high level, that demanding level of or standard of Tosfos. Is there a Ribui Simcha? You know, we can enhance, you know, add a new, you know, 7-layer meringue cake, you know, for this Chosn V'Kal, because of this Panim Chadoshes. If he hasn't yet fulfilled his obligation of the Bracha, then the Rambam would say he can qualify as Panim Chadoshes. So I can't tell you here in this machlokas like who's the machmir, who's the mekil, because it could really go either way. Oh, now let's think about Shabbos and Yontif. If we're talking about Ribui Simcha, the way Tosus understands it, and probably the way the Rosh understands it, he hasn't been part of the hoopla in any of the Sudos, then I would say Shabbos and Yontif has a beautiful, it brings in a beautiful element of Simcha. The only thing that bothers me is that Simcha of Shabbos and Yontif has nothing to do with the Chas and Kala. It's a given. But somehow we all take on, you know, the whole entourage, we all take on a new level of Simcha because it's Shabbos, because it's Yontif. If, on the other hand, Parim Chadoshes is to serve the purpose of setting up someone who hasn't heard the brachas so that he can be brachas and kala, what's the difference between Shabbos and Chol? It makes no sense whatsoever. So I don't think the Rambam has Parim Chadoshes on Shabbos. You know, the Shabbos replaces Parim Chadoshes. What about a child? What about an Isha? So if you're going to tell me a Chiyuv Bracha, they don't have the Chiyuv Bracha. Certainly not a Katan, and I don't even know if an Isha has a Chiyuv Bracha. If on the other you talk about Ribui Simcha, well, I don't know. If Hillary, no, I don't think Hillary. We don't want her. How about the Queen of England? Is she still? I'm so out of it. I'm such an amoris. Daniel, can you help me out here? Is the oh, yeah. She does. He has a girl. Is it a girl? Is it a granddaughter? I don't know. We don't know.
It was a bris last week.
Really? Go with it.
It's her third.
Don't know.
What?
She has three kids.
And yeah, but are they girls? No, I was just curious because we were asking about a woman, you know. But they had a bris last week?
Yeah. Bris last week. He couldn't make it.
He couldn't.
He was campaigning.
But even he owned a lot of, his family owned a lot of property in Brooklyn. Is that correct? Because the Jews all lived.
I don't know if that's good for the Jews or bad for the Jews. I don't know.
Very good.
You know, it could mean that he collected a lot of rent from the Jews. I don't know.
And little Donald used to come and collect the what do you call it, the laundromat money. He put the big sakit underneath and put all the money coming out of the machine.
What's the Panim Chadoshes?
It's a Panim Chadoshes.
No, Daniel was saying that his grandchildren could be Panim Chadoshes. What other question do we have over here? Yeah, this business of Rashi. Rashi says, well, he was there 2 days ago. I don't know. I don't know how to make that. Doesn't seem to fit into this question.
Maybe you can't.
If it's a bracha, the chiyuv bracha. I mean, then we owe to the chiyuv bracha 2 days ago. And if it's a chiyuv simcha, they already enhanced the simcha 2 days ago. Maybe a day went by, so it's a new chiyuv simcha. I don't know. It's very difficult. Alright. Now we get to a very interesting sugya. It's almost an agadata, but it's still not exactly an agadata. What is the nusach of Sheva Brachos? My Mavarech. Amar Rabbi Yehuda, Baruch Ata Hashem Elokeinu Melech Haolam. And now we start Daf Ches Amud Aleph. So let me just say one thing by way of introduction. How many brachas are there in this unit called Sheva Brachas?
Six.
Yeah, actually, there are five. There really are five. I'll tell you why. In fact, I'm not even sure there are five. It's either four or five, depending upon how you understand Bori Pri HaGofen. Bori Pri HaGofen is really what I call a borrowed bracha. I mean, it doesn't belong here in its native state. It's really here because whenever we organize a series of brachas, we always recite them and organize them over a kos. So this is not a chas of a kala halacha. I mean, a bris mila will have halakos, and an erusin will have halakos, even though it's not really simchas chas of a kala. What other examples can I give? Magid will say ala kos. You should know about Magid that there are those who will hold the kos for the entire Magid. Not like it says in the Gemara, here you pick it up and here you do this and here you do that. There are those who refuse to dip their fingers in to take out the Eser Makis. What do you do, Aaron? Is that a Sephardic minhag too?
I don't know if I remember it, but it's always...
Because I'll tell you the truth, I would recommend if you do this minhag, instead of putting your finger in, just pour out a little wine. Because I'm afraid that if you put your finger in, it becomes what's called a kos pogum.
What if we had a separate little cup? It's also fine.
Well, and you dip into that?
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't think that's what the minyan wants to do, but you know, it's an interesting. That's a way of trying to fool your people into thinking that you're observing the minyan, but you're not really doing so. Okay. So what were we talking about? Let's go over this one more time. How many brachas are there? So let's see. If my definition of sheva brachas is birchas chasanim, which means that these brachos are related to the chas of a kala as such. I mean, they just got married, right? So there's a new zivug, and on that zug, we want to have sheva brachas. So the first bracha is not part of the deal. How do I know this? Because shakol bara lechvodo means that God created everything in his honor. What does that have to do with the chas of a kala? This is a blessing on creation, correct? And bracha zu, I'm going to read to you. He says, "Nitkanal yitziras ha'adam." Just one second. Oh, just one second. I'm looking for. No. Where's the Rashi here? How come I don't see it? No? Okay, Rabbi, so it's here, I just don't see it. Rashi tells us... It's on the Bible of the previous Sunday. Okay, good. Oh, maybe I found it, let's see. Oh. He writes the following. Bracha Rishona, okay, you listening? Eino sekes klal be'inyan zivuk. There's no connection between the first bracha and zivuk. El nitkino lichvod, Rashi says this, I just don't know where it is, right? It's a second. El nitkino lichvod asifas ha'om, shenesofim. You found the Rashi?
29th
down. Oh, okay. That's why I didn't find it. All right, so you know what? You do me a favor. I'm going to read it here, and you follow there. Hopefully, it's word for word the same, just to save myself a little time. He says, "Ela nitkino lichvod asifa sa'am shenesofim ligmol chesed im hachosav akala." Okay, v'chesed ze shenogi v'chosav akala hu zecher lechazde hakadosh baruch hu shenog im odom arishon b'shas nesuav. Shenemar vayivieha el ha'odom v'dorshu chazal malamed shenasa kodesh bochum shushvinin l'odom arisha klomer shishtadol kodesh bochum b'chuposo u'bezivugo. In other words, this gathering together is a gathering l'chvod Hashem. Hashem, in other words, we're imitating Hashem. Just like Hashem was the first shushvinon in history, meaning he was the first one to be mesameach chosav akal at the time of Adam and Chava, so too we gather together in order to be mesameach the chos v'kala, and lechvod that aseifa we recite the bracha baruch hashem shem yod shakol baral lechvodo. So this is not part of what you call zivuk. Number two, let's look at the second bracha, is yotzer ha'adam. That too has nothing to do with the zivuk. The second bracha was established al yitziras ha'adam on the creation of man before kodem shenivra nekeva, before the female was created. Now that can't be marriage if there's no female, right?
It's a little
what?
Like they just got married and it's like we're only going to bless one of you.
The answer is we're not thanking Hashem for the zivug yet. At this point, we're thanking Hashem for creating man, and man is before zivug. He says, "Kein af im kein af brocha zu einen echsheves ki brocha l'inyan zivug shere einu muzka bro klal brias hanekeva v'atam shemikol makom mevorchet osa b'shas nesuin l'fisha lahalon b'birchas asher yotzar, which is bracha number three, mazkirin es brias hanekeva. We're about to mention the creation of nekeva. L'fichach makdimu l'vorach al brias ha'odam tru tchilas brias Adam and Keva. So basically, we have first the first two brachos. I'm not even talking about Bar Priya Goffin yet. Have nothing to do with thanking Hashem or what I call something in honor of the Chasam Akala, but rather with thanking Hashem for creation. In the second bracha, the first one, we're thanking Hashem for, you know, setting the tone of chesed, that now we can imitate you and have the chesed of gathering 10 people together. So what's the first bracha of Birchas HaZivug? That's what we call bracha number 3. What is that? Asher yatzar es ha'adam b'tzalmo, b'tzelem dmus tavniso. And now here comes female. So Hashem created a binyan adayad from man. He took the tzela from man and he created woman. Now it's interesting. I would not say that this bracha from beginning to end is lechvod chos v'kala, meaning the element of zivug here in Yetziras Ha'adam only comes up at the end of this bracha. But I guess the opening of the bracha, Asher Yotzar Sa'adam, is a reference to Adam together with Chava of the Hiskin Lo Mimenu Binyan Adayat. But it's difficult because wedged in the middle is Bitzalmo, Bitzalm Dvus Tavniso. By the way, there are different girsos here. The girsa that we have it would put sort of like a comma, Asher Yatzar Sadom Bitzalmo, right? That's one. Bitzelem Dvus Tavniso is two, and then Vehiskin Lo Mimenu. But the other girsa is the following. If you see if you can make a note of this, because if you've ever heard, if you ever hear somebody make this bracha, you'll know that he's not just mistaken about the nusach. He says the nusach is Asher Yatzar Es Ha'adam Bitzalmo, and then he has Ubitzelem Dmus Tavniso Hiskin Lo Mimenu Binyan Adayat. So in other words, in the Vav of the Hiskin, he has before the word Bitzelem. So instead of taking a pause and saying Bitzelem Dmus Tavniso Kama V'Hiskin Lo, he's got Ubitzelem Dmus Tavniso Hiskin Lo. Fine. And Baruch Ata Hashem Yotzer Ha'adam. Now, Rabosai, why do we need a chasima here? What kind of bracha is this? If we need a chasima, what does that prove? Bucharucha, right? Remember, we started with two categories of brachas. There's a bracha ktsar and a bracha rucha. This must be a bracha rucha, which according to Rashi means multiple themes. And it's very gishmak, because it says, God, you've created male and female. God, you've created man in the Tzelem Elokim with Dvuso and Tavdiso, whatever that means. And therefore, there's so many different themes here, and this bracha is Baruch Ata Hashem Yotzer Ha'adam. Alright, so let's see what we can gather together here as far as the third bracha. Okay, first of all, why does the third bracha open with a baruch? Not every bracha that we have opens with a baruch. Does anybody remember the rule? No, bracha richta requires a chasim at the end, but I'm asking about the psicha, the opening baruch ata Hashem. In what case do we drop baruch ata Hashem? Like, for example, if you come out of the bathroom in the morning, so you make an asher yatzar, what's the next thing you say? Early in the morning, you know, first thing in the morning. No, Modani, you should say even
long before that.
You got out of bed, you haven't washed your hands, nothing, garnished. But I'm just saying, you come out of the bathroom, you wash your hands, and what do you say?
Modani.
No, forget about until you die. I meant to say, on the fact that you went to the bathroom again.
What? Oh, that the end of Asher Yatzar has a bracha?
What I'm trying to say, Asher Yatzar is one bracha. What comes after Asher Yotzer? If you have a sitter, you should see it. Do you remember what it is? I mean, I'm a little embarrassed here that we don't remember this, but I wouldn't have done any better. It's just that I prepared, so.
Barevna
is the middle bracha of three brachas that form Birchas HaTorah. Yeah, that's going to come too, but not at this particular moment. I'll give you a hint. It's
Elokai Neshama.
Oh, excellent. You got it before I gave you the hint. Elokai Neshama. And that ends with a Machzir Neshama Sufkar Meis. Now, what's lacking, what's missing in a very abstruse way in that bracha? Maybe you never paid attention. Every bracha starts with what word?
Baruch.
There's no Baruch over there. Am I right?
At the beginning?
Again, every baruch start. Every bracha, by definition, starts with a baruch. Elokai neshama shenasatavi is not a proper way of starting a bracha. Right?
Neither does Asher Yatzar.
Asher Yatzar doesn't start with baruch.
That's Doctor Baruch. But
Baruch Atah Hashem Elokeinu Hashem
Yatzar. You have it all the time.
Who?
The Shmoneh Esrei. You start.
Oh, excellent. Yeah. What about all the brachos in Shmoneh Esrei? They don't start with baruch. So that's called, Rabosa, you should know this, Bracha Smucha L'Chavrata. Do you remember that? We discussed it, Yonatan. Bracha Smucha L'Chavrata means then when you have a series of brachos, it could be two, it could be 13, whatever the number is, it's irrelevant, but they all belong to one unit, to one entity. For example, the middle brachos of Shmoneh Esrei belong to a unit that's called what? Bakosha. Bakosh, all 13, right? So none of them will open with a baruch, because each one sort of, you know, stands on the shoulders of the other. The baruch goes from one to the other to the next.
Also in benching, then that's the same. Right?
Same thing in benching, except for the last one. The last one was a takana, later takana, because of Haruge Beitar, has nothing to do with Mazon, and therefore it starts with the baruch. Now, plugging back to this, so Brian, what do you find after the end of Asher Yatzar? Elokai Neshama. Why does it start with a baruch? The answer is, it's a bracha smucha l'chavrata. Again, if you were students of mine, I would force you to write this down. But, you know, you're big boys, so I can't, you know, this is not, you know, Derech Eitz Chaim here or anything like that. So I can't force you, you know, or Mavaseret, or I forgot, you know, where you learned. BMT? Yeah, this is not BMT. But if this was BMT, they'd have the most beautiful blackboards here, you know. Beit Malon with Torah, you know.
You never played basketball.
No?
Wait, so how come...
Now BMT would be considered at least second, if not third on the list, because you have that place in Beit Shemesh, what's it called?
Reshit,
yeah. I mean, Reshit, I don't know if they ever got permission to use the swimming pool or not. There was a whole to-do about that.
Wait, so how come the bracha of... there's like a series of brachot in the morning. Also, how come those don't just run off the other?
Okay,
you can't
so that's
do it with the bracha ktsara.
Yeah, I'll tell you why. Because there, if you drop the baruch, then all the brachos become one bracha.
Uh-huh.
You follow my point?
So it's a bracha ktsara because there's no
room. Yeah, there's no room. You know, you'd have to start with the baruch and end with the last one of. You follow my point. But you're right. You know, theoretically, since it's a Seder HaBrachos, there would be no need for a psicha. The Elokai Neshama Shenasatavi is linked up with the Asher Yotzar. You know, and it's fascinating because the Asher Yotzar is a thanks to Hashem for the most physical, biological part of the human makeup. And Elokai Neshama Shenasatavi is a thanks Hashem for the most spiritual, divine element of man. You know, it's like two polar extremes. And yet they belong to one unit. Because that's what man is all about. Man is a composite hybrid being made up of Guf and Neshama. And that's why, what are the last two words in the Brach of Asher Yotzar? The last two. Mafli Lasot. Mafli is Milosh and Pele. Pella is something amazing. Now, there are a lot of amazing things about the human body. Why did they add these two words here? And the answer is because Mafli Lasot is really the introduction or the bridge to the very next bracha, which is thanks Hashem for the neshama. The amazing thing, the Pella of all plum, is that God combined physical and spiritual into one body. For example, I studied philosophy, secular philosophy. And you can't imagine how much ink was spilled by the philosophers, the Goyisha philosophers, to try to figure out where the neshama is inside the goof. Like, where is it? Where did it enter? I don't know if you ever heard of a French philosopher called Descartes. Descartes, in his meditations, came up with the wildest idea. There's something here called the pineal gland. He was a physician. And he believed that the neshama goes into the body through the pineal gland. You know, today it's like, you know, give it a break. But I'm just saying the maflila sotir is really the bridge that connects those two brachas, and therefore Elokai neshama shenasatavi could not start with a bracha because it's smucha lechavrita. It's like one entity.
Does this mean you shouldn't make a hefsek between the two also? Because they're
exactly
reliant on one another?
Absolutely. Once you make a hefsek, you really need a baruch at the beginning.
But you don't do that, Mahalamai.
No.
You don't add a baruch.
No. Now my question to you is, why is the third bracha of Sheva brachas open with a baruch? If you take a look, for example, at the fourth bracha opens with Sos Tassis V'Sagel HaKarav. You see the Gemara, right? There's no baruch. Why is there no baruch in Sos Tassis? It's right. It's a smucha lechavrita. No, so why not say smucha lechavrita about the third bracha? The third bracha is Asher Yetzaras Adam V'Tzalmo, but that bracha starts in Baruch Atah Hashem Elokeinu Melech Olam. The answer is Rabosai, because it cannot link up to the bracha before it, because the bracha before it has nothing to do with what, with zivug. Mm. It's the creation of man before the female. The third bracha really opens up Sheva brachas. That's the oddity here. The paradox of all paradoxes is that we've been fooled for all our life into thinking Sheva brachas. It's really not Sheva brachas. I mean, at the end of the day, there are seven brachas, but it's not a unit of Sheva brachas. And the nafka mina is going to be that when you kick off that unit, namely with the third bracha, you need a baruch. Why? Because it cannot link up to what came before. Clear?
Is that why it's always referred to as Bircha Chatan? And not usually Sheva Bracha, like in text? And
Bircha Chatan really means that this is a Bracha of the Chasan or a Bracha about the Chasan. He's really the Balabas. That's why I say you want to give some Brachas to the Kala side. That's good for Shalom Bayis. Otherwise, you know, you're a dead man. But Alpi Din, you know, if you want to be a Litvisha Halachist, you know, a real pure Halachist, all the Brachas really belong to the Chasan. Now, if I said that to a class in Michala, where I used to teach, I'd be in trouble. You know, it would not be politically correct, and Rabbi, we don't want to see you anymore, you know. But that's not luck. It's called Birchas Chasan. Right?
I love you.
Okay. There's some poskim, by the way, who say that if the kal is not there and the chasan is there, you can still make the bracha. I don't profess that I believe in that, Allah Levaisa, but that's what it says. You actually saw that. Okay. No, in Hasidic circles, it's quite common. You know, who needs the Kala? She's in a different room anyway. But some Hasidim are makvid that for the Sheva brachas, they bring the Kala out. Okay, so that's number one. Number two, the first bracha of Sheva brachas, meaning of Zivug, is the third bracha, correct? And the Nusach HaBracha is really very much taken from the Torah itself. The Torah says, Vayivra Elokim es ha'adam v'tzalmo, v'tzalem Elokim bara oso, zachar unekeva bara oso. So if you see in that statement, in that verse, you have, number one, the Yetziras ha'adam v'tzalmo, which is the first part of this bracha. And then you have v'tzalem, right, B'Tzelem Elokim Bara Osam, which Rashi interprets to mean Dmus, so that's the second part of this bracha, is Dmus. And then finally it says Zachar Nekeva Bara Osam, which is reflected here at the end of the third bracha, V'Hiskin Lo Mimenu Binyan Adeat. Now this bracha, according to the Sefer Itur, was established for the mitzvah of Piri Verivya. Okay, because what Piri Verivya is all about is called Ribui Dmus. Ribui Dmus means that God wanted to create man as a Dmus, and by procreating, you're bringing in more Dmus into the world. So that's the third bracha, which is the bracha of Piri Verivya. Now, what does it mean when we say, Asher Yatzar Es Adam B'Tzalmo? Salmo in his image. Okay, is that a capital H or a small H? Who's the Tzalmo over here? So if you assume it's Tzalmo Shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu, which I assume it is, then you have a real problem over here, because man is a physical being. What does it mean that man is B'Tzalmo Shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Do you ever think about that? I mean, God is not physical. So the answer is, that says the Avodram, that it's a reference not to the tzelem of the physical man, but what's called the tzuras nafsho shel adam. Right, as we said before, man is a composite being, and the most most prime or significant element of man is his nefesh, and his nefesh is Bitzelem Elokim. He writes, "Shanefesh hu Bitzalmo shel HaKadosh Baruch." So it's very interesting. You know, people are so influenced by the, you know, the culture around them. They think the image, man is created in the image of God. You know, they start imagining, well, what does God look like? Does he have eyes? Does he have a nose? That's not what we're talking about.
What are we talking about?
We're talking about the nafsho shel adam. Man is made up of both tzura and chomer. There's a physicality, which has nothing to do with God. I mean, it's a great creation of God, but it in no way is a likening of God, right? And then there's the tzuras ha-nefesh of man. And that's the divine element in man. That is Tselem Elokim. That is Netzeles Mikvodo Yisbarach, from the Kvod of Hashem.
That include the Neshama, or it's the Neshama plus other?
I don't know. That's a good question. What's the Gene Nefesh in the Neshama? For that, you know, got to catch me on the right day for that, you know. Okay. Next. What does this mean, Bitzelem Dmus Tavniso? Again, if you're going to say Tavniso is some sort of, you know, the classical example of a Tavnit is a, help me out over here, when you make cookies, what's that thing called? You pour the dough into a
mold.
A mold, okay, is there a better word for that? There should be a better word. Mold is too fancy, I think, something
cookie
more.
Cookie pan.
A cookie, what?
A cookie pan. Like each
pan?
Cookie cutter.
No, it's a different word. Okay, I see nobody here makes cookies, that's all. Gonna have to throw in the towel. Anyway, so we'll call it a mold for lack of a word. Now, if we're praising God because of the Tavniso, his Tavnis, again, is it a capital H or is it a small H? I mean, does God have a mold? So all the Mefarshim Peach would unanimously say the Tavniso here is a small H. It's the Tavnis of man that we're talking about. In other words, we're thanking Hashem for creating man with this Tavnis. So that's an important point. Tavniso, he says, Hainu Tavnis ha-Adam. It's the Tavnis of man. Okay? So this is already a thanksgiving to Hashem for the creation of the physical element of man. And then the Hiskin lo mimenu binyan adei ad. This is based on the pasuk Vayikach achas mitzalosav Vayiskar basar tachtena Vayiven Hashem elokim esatzela asher lokach min ha'adam leisha. So we have here Vayiven, right? It says lebinyan adei ad. What's binyan adei ad? You know, all the rabbanim will get up and give you a whole drush about binyan adei ad. But first and foremost, what's the simple pshat in binyan adei ad? It's a quote from the pasuk Vayiven that God created woman. She's the binyan. So God created the binyan. And what does it mean, lo? I'm sorry, forget about lo. What is lo means for him, but what's mimenu?
From his...
Exactly, from his tzela. Okay, so everything begins to fit in. Now what's ade ad?
That's the per-review aspect? That's the...
Yeah, you're 100% right. The Avodram says, beautiful, ade ad, sha'odim v'ishto ma'amidim told us that they will have generations to come. So that's what's called a binyan ade ad. Dafla has a slightly different shot. He says, "Afshevar kodesh bokhsi isha mitzelim ha'od mitzelah ha'odam nase but bazet tikun l'doros shetivale bifnei atzva b'shlei musa." Wow, that's interesting. He's saying that even though woman was created from one limb of man, one part of man, nevertheless, God made her in such a way that she can have children that will be full, you know, full organisms. Okay. Then it says, Baruch Ata Hashem, Yotzer Ha'adam. What's Yotzer Ha'adam? So he says, that we have to look into the Yalkut Biurim. Okay, so let me just read to you what he says here in the Yalkut Biurim. If I could find this, hold this for a second if you don't mind. He has a whole discussion here whether or not you should divide up the brachos into many different people. So again, he says, "B'tam chasimas brachazu." Apologize, I'm not finding it here. I should have made a little simon with davar. So I don't know. I don't want to waste your time here. How are we doing on the clock? Oh, not too great. All right. So fine, that's number three. Now we're up to number four. Sos tosis v'tagel hakara v'kibitz banel l'socha v'simcha brucha to Hashem v'sameach sion v'vaneh. So Rav will say, what is the subject of the fourth bracha? What do you say? Yushalai, correct. Sos tosis, we're praying to Hashem that he should bring joy, sason, to what? To Yushalai. Yerushalayim is called an akara. Why is Yerushalayim called an akara? Akara is the most profound image of a woman that has no children. She's an akara, she can't have children. So what's the tsushta, what's the equation here between Yerushalayim and an akara? Which Megillah are we talking about? Echa, exactly. All of Echa really is. Yeah, all right. It's also in Yirmiyahu Novi, but I'm saying I choose Echa because it's much more. I think it'll trigger off our sense even more than Yirmiyahu Novi, perhaps, because all of the Echa and the Kinnis, it's all about Yushalayim as an Akara, meaning Mibli Baneha. Mibli Baneha means that Yushalayim is without its children. I mean, that those who celebrate Yom Yerushalayim, as I do, this is the 28th of Iyar, is because this is the beginning of the end of that curse, of that terrible situation of Mibli Baneh. You know, now we have the Banim coming back to Yerushalayim. Trouble is, we don't have enough wealthy people to buy up, well, maybe they just refuse to sell it to us, if you know what I mean. Okay. Where's my friend Moskowitz? What's his name? Moskowitz? Is he still buying up, or?
I don't think so.
I haven't heard much about him. He does it still a hate, you know. All right, the kibbutz banel l'socha, right? Kibbutz banim, like we have a whole bracha in Shmon Esrei about kibbutz. Bracha tami makabe snitchei amu Yisrael besimcha, with joy. Bracha to Hashem esameach tzion v'vaneh. Now wait a minute. We finally began sheva brachas with the third bracha. So we're now talking about the zivug. Boom. Forget it. We're going off on a tangent. We're talking about Yerushalayim. It's very, very strange. So I have here a footnote, and he writes the following. There's a pasuk in Yeshayahu Novi. Sos asis ba kechason yichayin peher ukechala ta'ada keleha. In other words, the chasan kala are mentioned in the same verse as Sason v'simcha of Yerushalayim. And this really reflects a pasuk in Tehillim. The pasuk, as you all know, im eshkachech Yerushalayim tishkach yemini, tidbak l'shoni l'chikim lo eskereni, im lo ales Yerushalayim al rosh simchas. Meaning, until this point, number three, we've been thanking Hashem for creating female and making it possible to have zivug, but we haven't yet begun to ask for simcha. The answer is we don't have a right to ask for simcha. We need a matir. And what's going to give us license to ask for simcha? First we have to pray for the simcha of Yerushalayim. Im lo ales Yerushalayim aros simchas. How can we sing it at the end?
No.
Yeah, I was waiting for that question.
We don't see
now it became more stylish. They started singing it at the beginning. You know.
Is that really because of...
What were you going to say, Aaron?
Do we see this by Brismila? that we can't have simcha until we at least give ourselves a matir? I don't remember.
I don't know. Take out the brachas of bris milah maybe and see if simcha is mentioned there at all. I don't remember.
It's mitzvah more than simcha.
Yeah, open up. I don't know. Your question would be much more, shall I say, well-founded if simcha is mentioned in bris milah. Now, I'm not denying that bris milah is a great simcha. Don't misunderstand. It's really an increased simcha, but what we're talking about now is the Sheva Brachas are about to, we're about to ask for Simcha. If we're asking for Simcha, then first we have to ask for the ultimate Simcha, which is the Simcha of Yushalayim. That's what he says over here.
If you haven't seen it's written about
Simcha's Beis HaShoeva.
If you haven't seen Simcha, so it's the same at a wedding.
It's the same what?
It should be the same at a wedding. If you're looking for the simcha, the real simcha of the Beit HaMikdash.
Right. But I'm saying, you know, we if I were to ask you, Brian, before you came into the class, but again, if I'm wrong, I'm wrong. If I would have asked you before the class, yeah. You know, let me be more honest than this. If I would ask myself before this class, where is Yushalayim? And remembering the fact that Yushalayim is Kalmona Mein Boneh and so forth, where is it in the ceremony of Chasam Vakal? I would have given you one or two answers. I would have either told you breaking of the glass, or I would have told you putting ashes on the head of the Chasam. But now I'm telling you something much more fundamental, which I wasn't aware of. It's embedded in the very structure of Sheva Brachos. You can't begin to ask Hashem for Simchas Chasam Vakal im lo ale es Yushalayim. Is Tivak Lishoni Lechiki? It's got to be Al Rosh Simchos. So again, we can pontificate here about why Yushalayim and so forth and so on, but I was just fascinated to see that it's embedded in the very fabric of Sheva Brachos. Okay? The Meiri points out there's another pasuk that says Umasos Chosan Al Kala Yosalayach Alukha. Kimsos Chosan Al Kala, we say it in Lechadodi. Is Yasus Alayach Elokoich? So Yushalayim and Chas V'Kala are again connected in this pasuk. Is therefore the time of Nisuin with the great Simcha of Nisuin? We talk about the Simcha of Yushalayim. Okay, that is bracha number 4. Now we're up to bracha number 5. What are we ready for now? You know, like with all the drum roll, we're ready to ask for what?
The Simcha
of Chas V'Kala. That's exactly what bracha number 5 is all about. Sameach to samach reim ahuvim, kesamecha yitzircha v'ganed mikedem, baruch ato Hashem esameach chasu v'kal. If you'd ask me, again, don't publicize this, if you have like 10 people, you know, to choose from, halavai, right? I just sat today on this very chair with a chasu v'kal, he's getting married on Monday night. And I asked him, you know, who he's going to be machabe with the brachas, because that's my job. You know, that's what I have to do. If you would ask me, which of the Sheva brachas should you give to, like, you know, your number one holiest tzaddik in the whole group?
Brachachrita.
That's what I would have said. I think it's wrong. Don't quote me on this. If I had my choice, I would give it to the fifth bracha. When I say fifth, that's really the sixth bracha, because we haven't counted Bar Priya Gofer. Because the fifth bracha, we'll call it the sixth bracha, is really the tefillah. Take a look at Rashi. Rashi says, Sos Tasis, I'm sorry, Samech to Samach is a tefillah Levakoshes Hazuk. And in fact, we said before, the name of the Aruch HaShulchan, the entire purpose of Sheva Brachas is to pray on behalf of the Zug. So I want to give this bracha to someone who really knows how to pray on my behalf, on the chosin. Now, why kisamecha yitzircha? Why are we going back to creation again?
Those were the good times, no?
No, but who is there? Who is there? When God brings Chava to Adam, the first wedding, the first, right? He was, let's say he was kaido, I don't know, probably not with kesev ishtar. Let's say he was kaido with Dio, right? By the end of the... Who was there to be Misaveach to Chas V'Kala? He was the Misaveach. And it's unbelievable. If you open up Pirkei de Rabbi Elezer, remind me one time to photocopy it for you, to describe that beautiful, beautiful Simcha and how Kodesh Baruch was Misaveach to Chas V'Kala.
He didn't have Panim
When you say they didn't have Panim Kadoshes, they didn't need Panim Kadoshes because it was the first series of brachas. But the fascinating thing to me is that, you know, it's a kind of, I know it's a little bit sad, but it's happy too. if a man marries a woman, right, there's always the danger, again, chas v'shalom, chas v'shalom, they can think, you know what, I made a mistake, I should have married that one, you know, in dating it's a classical mistake, and then after he goes out with 50 girls, he says, why did I marry the first one? she's already a grandmother. You know what I'm saying? There was one wedding where that was not even a chashash.
The first wedding,
right? Other v'chav. So in a sense, the other v'chav of marriage represents the paradigm of simcha, because, you know, they were certainly meant for each other. There was no... right, that's the sad part about it, but I think we're using it symbolically to represent that, you know, this is it, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu is there. And finally, we have the seventh bracha, which is called the sixth bracha, because we haven't mentioned Baruch Pri HaGafen, and that begins with a baruch. And that's a problem. Because as we said before, the fourth and the fifth brachas did not open up with a bracha, because the principle bracha smucha lechavrita. Why isn't the last bracha a bracha smucha lechavrita? Why does it need a psicha? So if you take a look at Rashi, Rashi says that even though both the sixth and the seventh, we'll call it, with Baruch Pri Gofen, they both end with almost the identical chasima, right? Baruch Ata Hashem, what's the chasima? Take a look inside. Hello, anybody home? No, the chasima, chatima.
Chatan v'chala.
Well, you left out a word here. Wait a minute. You can't just say Chatan V'Kalah. Baruch Ata Hashem, Mesameach Chatan V'Kalah. So Rashi says there's one difference between the two. There's Mesameach Chatan V'Kalah and Mesameach Chatan V'Kalah.
That's one to get the Chopam, and it's the other one you do during the Shabbat Brachas. Yeah.
One second. What are we saying over here? Check me out on that, Daniel, because that flew by me. But again, what I'm talking about Rashi here in Masechta Ksuvos. Daniel has something else in mind which I'm not familiar with. But Rashi here in Masechta Ksuvos says the following. He says that... I'm very bad today at finding things. But you see the Rashi, Mesameach Chasan V'Kalah. Rashi says, Ba'achronim Mesameach Chasan Imakalah. Right? Lefish Simchas Bracha Rishona Lo Simchas Chasan Omrim Shari Tfilahi Shemispalim Vorkim Shiyu Smechin Vatzlchosim Kol Ayomim Lefichoch Einu Chosim Sameach Chosan Imakal Demash Meish Be Ishtol El Bracha Shemisameach Eshneim Liolam Ubachrona Shevach Shemishabech Lakodesh Baruch Shebarach Chasnus. You see what I think Rashi is saying is that the next to the last bracha of is Mesameach Chasan, again, what's the language, help me out here, Abosai, Mesameach Chasan Imakala. Can somebody check inside, just to, you know, don't leave this all on me, it's not fair, you know, you guys also have to work a little bit here. Am I right that the sixth brach, the next to the last brach is Imakala? Please check me out on that. Alright.
Imakala.
That's specifically earmarked for this chasan and this kal. That we ask Hashem to be samech this chasan together with this kal.
Specific chasan.
Yes, specific. However, the last bracha, which leaves out the word im, misamech chasan v'kala,
is general.
That's what Rashi calls the first of the wide lines, shebara chasnus, dibuk ish v'ishto, al yidei chedva, yidei simcha v'chedva. So that, what I wanted to say is that the reason why the last bracha opens, and we'll finish with this, opens with a brach, a baruch, and it's not smucha l'chavrita, is because it's not a bracha for this particular zivug, it's a recognition and a praise to Hashem for creating zivug, for creating simchas chas v'kal, as an entity. That requires a separate, independent baruch to start it. So it comes out of Bosai that out of the seven brachos, we really could say that there are only three brachos that are earmarked for this particular chas v'kala, and they are brachos number 3, 5, and 6. What do I mean 3, 5, and 6? I'm skipping 4, because that's a bracha for Yerushalayim. I'm skipping 7, because that's not a bracha for this chas v'kala. I'm skipping 1 and 2, because those are brachas for creation or for the covet of the Asifa, and I'm skipping Baruch Priyagop because that's a general bracha. So, you know, we got cheated a little bit here because we've been assuming there are seven brachas, we reduced them down to three. Okay, we'll stop.
Should I hear about this next week?
Wednesday night of next week, I